CMJ, Church's Ministry to the Jewish People, the Anglican Church to the Jewish People. Last weekend we had a conference up in Derby. We had all our loads of delegates there. None from the far west, because it's too far for you to travel. But there was some from Red Rivers, which is even further. But we had a really good time, because we have people from Israel, we have people from America, we have people from all our own people as well. And there's 200 or 300 of us for 4 days, so it was a really good time we had. And they send you greetings, Jeff. I know it's a long way down here, and I acknowledge that, because I've just travelled 90 miles to come and see you, and I don't... I live halfway up the country. It's been going, as I say, for 200 years or more. It was stimulated by people like Lord Shaftesbury, William Wilberforce, Charles Simeon, Lewis Wayne, Joseph Fry, and the Wesley brothers. They all had this desire to see God's people back in the land, so there would be a fulfillment of prophecy, and that they'd come to know their Messiah as Lord, Jesus and Lord. CMJ is part of nine missions, one of nine missions in the Church of England, a recognised mission in the Church of England. I was privileged to be on council of CMJ, and at General Synod I was appointed to be their representative, so I was able to speak on the mission of Public Affairs Council on behalf of CMJ, and we had a very good input into that. A little bit of history for myself. I was brought up just after the war. I was born in 1940, so I was born during the war. My father had taken place in the very First World War. But it was the horror stories of the Holocaust that stimulated my thinking, together with my reading of my Bible. I read from Genesis onwards, and of course as you would expect, that was most important to me. You start at the beginning, and people said, the Bible says, God will bless you if you bless Israel. And I could not understand the Holocaust, not as an 8-year-old boy. I just could not understand it. But I was very fervent in my beliefs and my thoughts about Israel in particular. So God laid it on my heart at a very, very early stage, the desire to serve the Jewish people and to see them in their right, not only in their rightful place, but also in the kingdom of God. Just to lay that aside for a minute, there are two pictures there. The one in uniform, one is myself, the other one is my grandson, and the one by the graveside is my son. They were at the Battle of Beersheba reenactment 3 years ago. We're going to do it again, God willing, in a couple of years' time. And I was dressed in my father's uniform representing the Lincolnshire Yeomanry. Because at the very time of that battle, the Balfour Agreement was signed on that very same day. So that allowed the children of Israel to be part of the land. So that was the very beginning of the restoration of the Jewish people in black and white. Okay, it's had a long history since then. But that's my involvement. And it's the stories of my father in the First World War, where he visited all the places of the Old Testament. And that came real to me. You know, Goliath of Gath, Abraham's well, etc. And so that was real to me as a young boy. It made a very great impression on me. And it was at school that I was accused, really, of being a Jew, because I was a Jewish supporter. But anyway, let's lay that aside for the moment. The why. Why do we need to be involved with CMJ? Why is it important? Well, in Genesis it said, we will be blessed, all nations will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And that is true, because we wouldn't be here today. Because through Abraham, David, Jesus, we're here, aren't we? That's the good news. That's the vital news for us. That Jesus stemmed from the beginning, right from the very beginning. But it's not only that. There was also, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's only one city in the whole world in the Bible that says you must pray for this place, because it's very special, very dear to God's heart. Seek peace and pursue it. I'm hoping Benny's keeping up with me. She is. So if you want peace, do you know, it was 12 years old before there was one day of peace in this world. There was always a nation officially at war with another. So we're always trying to pursue peace. And in Isaiah said, and you hear this at Christmas time, don't you, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I was in Jerusalem on one occasion, a short story here, with a Palestinian guide. And bless him, there was a problem on the Mount of Olives, as there was in the Intifada. This is 15, 20 years ago. And there was a small explosion. He said, oh, don't worry, it's normal. And I said, when are you going to get peace in this place? In Cisterre. And this is a Palestinian telling me, we will never have peace until we have the Prince of Peace. We can't have peace until the Prince of Peace, because he is our peace. And in Ephesians, it's got a little say, the work of reconciliation is of paramount importance, because it is Jesus who will reconcile Jew and Gentile, Jew and Muslim and all the rest. It's only through conversion and opening the eyes of the Jewish people to their Messiah that there will be peace. The Grand Commission. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, let's just look at, Rob's just spoken a little bit about that already, in that there the disciples were, Peter in particular, at the Mount of Ascension. And they had a rough time, hadn't they? They'd been with Jesus for 3 years and they couldn't quite understand why he was here all the time. It took a lot of sinking in. They weren't very good learners, in my view. They'd heard his teaching. They'd seen his miracles. They stilled the waters, raised the dead. Been buried, dead and buried. Seen the resurrection. And now, on this Mount of Olives, he was ascended to heaven. And the words came down, you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. And I bet Peter thought, oh my goodness me. Well, how on earth can we? You've been 3 years, now you've nicked off. But we've got to do it. We have to. And fortunately for us, the disciples were and did spread it to the four corners of the earth. And how did they do it? Well, they were very brave, weren't they? The bravery of Peter. Just imagine when going down into the hotbed of Jerusalem, and it is hot in more ways than one. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified him, you put him to death, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held. They were brave words, weren't they? Accusing the people of Jerusalem that you crucified the Messiah. You've been waiting for 1,000 years for the Messiah. You've crucified him. Wow. What would they do? Well, Peter said, when they're cut to the heart, he said, repent. That was the first word. Because if you don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, or if you don't acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, that's a great sin. Because he is. So repent of your sins. Yes, they were very good at living moral laws, but that is the greatest sin of all, in my view. Because Jesus is the only access to eternal life. And so we have them here telling them to repent. And they did. So how do we do this? How do we at CMJ do this? Well, we have some work going on in this country as well. We have just appointed 2 evangelists for this very purpose. And they go out, and once they get communicating with the Jewish people, and we've had a little success this last 6 months, both in London and in Manchester, and people are listening to these evangelists. And of course they do have to repent, and they are repentant too. See, the word repent is turning back from their old ways, of the old Judaistic ways, the Orthodox Jewish ways. You have to turn away from those. And if you notice in the Bible, every great ministry began with the word repent. John the Baptist said, repent. Jesus, when he began his ministry, said, repent. And here's Peter saying, repent. That's the key, to turn away from what you thought before, and repent. Well, that's great. And if you notice that all the revivals in this country, John Wesley, Billy Graham, the Welsh revival, the Scottish revival, all began with that word, repent, to turn back to Christ. Acknowledge Christ as your Lord and Saviour. And that's what we often want. We want peace, we want our nation to turn to Christ, but it's key on that word, repent. In Jerusalem, there's a stall right at Jaffa Gate, my son, and two Muslim friends of ours. We're in great communication with the Muslim friends there. And that's only a few yards from Christchurch Gateway. So there's a great witness there. They can go into our courtyard and hear our message too. They become friends of mine. And they know that I'm a Christian. And bit by bit, we can just feed in the gospel. And that's all you can do. Be faithful for the time you can do it. Well, on at Christchurch, where there's a few more, I'm hoping, there's a lot of things going on, and Rod will find all these things out. It's the oldest Protestant church in the Middle East, 1849. There is a Messianic congregation on Saturday and Monday evenings, that's spoken in Hebrew. So in that church, there's not only us English speaking and preaching there, there's a Hebrew congregation. There's an Arab Bible study on the Friday evening. Great friends of mine, I'm going to introduce Rob to them afterwards when they get out there. I introduced them to Tony Hickton, and I said there's some great Palestinians in down Christian Quarter Road, and so we introduced him, and now those two are actually serving communion at Christchurch. So we have this reconciliation work going on, and so we're recognizing not only do the Palestinians need Jesus and the Jews need Jesus, we're having them worship together. And that's one of the greatest thrills that you can have. On the site, of course, there's a coffee shop. And people come into the coffee shop and we minister to them. Also on that site is a heritage centre. I don't know if you've got a picture of the heritage centre. Yes, we have. And the Jews are very keen on where their roots are. And so we introduce them to heritage and we're able to minister to them. Loads of groups come through that gate and they don't want to, the guides try to say, no, we don't want you to talk, you're not allowed to talk. But then the people who come to, yes, we do want you to talk, tell us about it. So now nearly every guide that comes in allows us to have our spiel that Jesus is the Messiah. And we do get reports from that. There's a guest house which you'll be working in, and that's a busy, busy place. And there's a bookshop. Believe it or not, in the bookshop, Orthodox Jews are prohibited from reading our New Testament. They are prohibited from reading our New Testament. They can read the Quran, they can read anything about Hindus, they can read about Jehovah's Witnesses, but you are forbidden. But what do we see? You see them sneaking into our bookshop. They're sneaking into our bookshop and they're interested because they want to know as well. So that's a great witness right outside Christchurch by Jaffa Gate. So there's a great witness. So that's the how. The dining room, you've seen the dining room, haven't you? The guest house. That's the guest house. We do all our festivals in there, Passovers, the Feast of Weeks and all the rest of it. All done in there. And they've come to witness as well. Move on, please, Benita. On our 50th wedding anniversary, this is how we try to witness, to get the people in. Because they're not really allowed to come in as Orthodox Jews. But we open our gates as many times as we can. And on Christmas Eve, they're always inquisitive. They want to know how we Christians tick. And it was our 50th wedding anniversary. And we went out there at that time. It was one of the greatest times we had. Because we had 1,200 Jewish people came through that door, listened to the carol service from 5:30 in the evening, right through to 2:00 in a.m., right through. Didn't all stay all the time, but the 1,200, and we applied them with a glass of wine, we gave them a little bit to eat, and we gave them a Bible, a New Testament Bible. So we gave a well over 800 Bibles out at that time. So they take them home. That's the word of God being spread throughout that part of Jerusalem. That's how we witness in Jerusalem. There are other ways we witness in Jerusalem as well. We have three schools. One's the AISJ, Anglican International School in Jerusalem. It's principal now is actually Lawrence Hilditch. But when you walk through that door in this school, it's overtly Christian. And it does a great job. Those kids that go in that school, whether they're Muslim, and there are Muslims in that school, whether they're Jewish, there are lots of Jewish people in that school, lots of diplomats' sons, and it's up to a very, very high standard of education, very high academic standard. Many of them have gone on to Oxford, Cambridge, Hebrew University, on Mount Zion. So there's a great demand to go there, but we don't spare the Christian message. There is a Christian assembly, a Christian end of day, and it's a Christian right way through, with text going around the room as well. Overtly Christian. Yes, the Muslims did protest at one stage, but if they wanted a good education, the best education, that's where they had to have it. On the same site, there's a Tikva school, and that's a little school. It's entirely in Hebrew. It's for the Jewish people. It's a Messianic school, and it's taught the faith that Jesus taught, and it's in the language that Jesus spoke. So there's another witness there, and that's a very thriving little school. Again, give me a child who's 8 years old, and we'll keep him. And do you know, there's a great work going on there. My wife's favourite school, which is the Sunshine School, is on the West Bank. And we need to pray for this one, because it is on the West Bank, and it has been threatened last week that once Ramadan is over, they're going to start killing Christians there. Don't get too worried. Don't worry about it. You're in Jerusalem. But, of course, we know what the hotbed of Israel is like now in the Middle East. And we do have to be careful. Marion is quite scared, but her husband's a Palestinian. And so he says, oh, don't worry, we'll be safe. But again, when you walk through that door, you know exactly it is a Christian school. One more story for that one. There's this Hamas leader. He got a lot of money. He wanted his children to have the best education. Can I come in? Yes, you can. It's a Christian school, she reminded him. She saw the message above the door. I am the way, the truth. You can take that down. I'm not letting him have that. He said, well, I'm afraid we're a Christian school, and that's what we teach, and that's what you're going to have if you want your child here. And so she stuck to her guns. Reluctantly, he let his son come in, and he studied there for 2 or 3 years. On one occasion, it came to Christmas time, the Christmas story came out. Oh, my son can't take part in that. But we thought, he was going to be Joseph, he's going to be the head one. Oh, well, at that rate, I'll make it. So he did. And not only did he come, he brought his wife and all of his family to hear the Christmas story. And the gospel was spelled out very clear. So those are the opportunities we have. Yes, it is dangerous, but yes, like Peter, he was brave. They were brave to say, repent. This is the Messiah. We're celebrating his birth here today. That's the Sunshine School. We have three other sites in the land. We have at Betbracker. I don't know if anybody's been to Betbracker. Once you've been in, it's one of our centres. It's a prayer centre. It's a house of blessing. And people go there as a recluse because it gets quite dodgy out there at times and people want to go away for a weekend and be prayed over and be ministered to. But it's developed more than that now because the Jewish people also go there. Because why? Because the army boys are on the Golan Heights in great danger to go to Lebanon in contact with war and danger again, and they want to come back to a place of. And we give them the ministry there. We minister to them. And now there's a huge gathering of Messianic Jews in the army. It's drummed out of them because you don't want any of that nonsense in this place. But they get recharged their batteries at Bracker. It's a wonderful place. It's just changing hands. We met the new people there and for the first time. So only 2 weeks ahead of you. The old people, Ted and Linda, became great friends of ours. And they did a wonderful job of ministering to the local people, ministering to the army people, particularly. And the army people are now encouraging them to come back because they know to go away from there. They're the soldiers. They're the soldiers, you know. And they go back with the faith as well. So it's a bit Bracker. But Emmanuel is one of my favourite ones on the coast near Jaffa, Tel Aviv. Different story altogether there. That's a secular society out there. In actual fact, we get more response from the secular Jewish people than we do from the Orthodox Jewish people. But my grandson, he went worked there, volunteered like you did, you were going to do for 6 months, and he had a wonderful time there. He increased his faith. He was involved in the worship. You know, we're not an hour worship there. There's a 250 congregate Messianic congregation there on a Friday evening, and we got there one day and we went out to get a bit of food. When we came back, they were still there 2.5 hours later, listening, worshipping, and ministering to each other. It was tremendous. Ben, in his spare time, bless him, went down into the town with his friends and ministered to the gays, to the prostitutes, to the drug addicts. It's all there. Don't think all Jewish people are all perfect, because they're not. It's a very, very secular society there. And they need to hear the words of salvation. They need to hear the words of salvation. So Bet Emmanuel is one of my favourite places. And oh my goodness, Pedro there. We could do with 6 Pedros there, because all the guides are coming in to see what this place is about. It's got a history. And they want to know about that history. Not only do they get the history, but they also get the gospel. Pedro makes sure that we're here because of Jesus and of their roots. Stella Carmel, that used to belong to us. It doesn't belong to us anymore now. David and Karen Davis have taken it over, and it's like a church plant. And again, they are ministering both to Jew and to converted Muslims and to Palestinians side by side. The work of reconciliation goes hand in hand with the gospel. And there's a great work going on there, right on the mounts on Stella Carmel. My mark card. And there again, they minister to drug addicts and the refugees too. And there's lots of refugees all over the world, and they have an opportunity to do this. And they now have built this congregation up from, say, 100 now to 200, 300 people sometimes. That's fine, all these places they are being ministered to. I was sitting at Jaffa Gate on one of my trips, and we've been out there now almost for 30 years, and there's thousands and thousands of Jewish people going by Jaffa Gate, down the Armenian Way in cars and families to the Western Wall, down the centre of the old city, literally family after family after family. Although my heart was in that the Jews should have a place in the land, the Lord spoke to me and says, yes, they're in the land. But these people aren't in the kingdom. And so we have re-emphasized our ministry, both in Israel and out here, to focus on the kingdom, on the gospel. Because if they're in the land and they're not in the kingdom, they're just as lost as the Muslims on the Mount of Olives, just as lost as the drug addicts and the prostitutes in Tel Aviv. So they need the gospel. So we have been reinvigorating our way to the gospel, and we have been focusing on that. And the last trip we had out there, Julian and I, we got a 4 hours before our flight was due to, or we're going back to see our flight. She said, what shall we do? She had a bad knee. She said, oh, I'd love to go down to the Western Wall again. And so we hobbled down to the Western Wall. And there's a demonstration on the Western Wall. There's always a demonstration down there. If the Jews aren't worshipping there, then there's something being commissioned. Or at this occasion, it was a Women at the Wall demonstration. And I wondered, did one know what it was about? And I listened into a lady who could speak English. So I recited over to him and said, how's it going? She said, oh, it's about blah, blah, blah. And as ladies start to talk to each other, and we got to know this lady, she turned out to be a Jewish rabbi. And Julia knew all the history, right from dotting the merit, how she came out here, and all the rest of it. And we was getting running short of time, so after about an hour, I said, well, we really got to be going. We really got to be going. And she said, well, it's lovely to meet you. I said, but before I go, and I was going to, this is where I put my hand on my heart, because I've been telling everybody else, they've got to do the spread of the gospel. Let's minister to this lady. So I said, well, there is one thing I'd like to share with you. She said, yes, what's that? She said, well, you know, there's a big difference between your faith and our faith. I believe that Jesus was your Messiah. She stood up, put her arm around Julia and came to me. I know, I've just discovered that. I know, I've just discovered that. How do you minister to your people? Well, she says it's very early on, but I'm asking them to have an open mind. So even at that level, people are coming to know Jesus as their Saviour and as their Messiah. We saw at the beginning of the reading today, go and preach the gospel, first beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And if you can just picture that scene again on the Mount of Olives, when at the time of the Ascension, Jesus going up to heaven, and the voice saying, he'll come back here as well. He'll come back here in the fullness of time, but you have got to go and preach the word. We're not quite at the ends of the world here, but we're fairly way off course. At headquarters, they think Bristol is the southwest. It's nowhere near there, is it? But we are at the southwest, and we still have that same commission. God laid it upon my heart to minister to the Jewish people, but it also laid it upon my heart to the Gentiles here. And I've got a little girl at the back of there. She's been with us since 12, and she gave her life to being with us and hearing the gospel. And so we're not let off the hook. You're not let off the hook. Oh, I'll give a fiver to the CMG, let them get on with it. No, you will be my witnesses to the end of the world. Before Christ returns, of course, there will always be a remnant of believers. I believe that remnant is now growing in the Middle East particularly. The Orthodox churches are declining in number. But when my father left, he said, what on earth are we here for? It's only sand and sun. It's a desert. But of course now it's not a desert. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And also the word of God. In 1948, when the Jewish people lived on that land, in 1948, there were possibly 5 or 10 Messianic Jews in the land. Since then, there are now well over 100 congregations who have turned to Christ in that short time, 6 years. And we believe that there are between, on the conservative side, say, 12 to 15,000 believers now in that land. So, what is a remnant? There are 65 verses in the Bible referring to remnants. And there will always be a remnant of believers, both here and in Israel and in all the parts of the world. And so be encouraged. Maybe, sometime soon, Jesus will return. But in the meantime, we have to be faithful to the Grand Commission and go and preach the gospel. Thank you, Jeff. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for the challenge of your word, Lord. We just thank you too that Peter responded in a very positive way. We just pray that we too will be brave. And when we get the opportunity to share the news that Jesus died for us, we ask this in your precious name. Amen.